Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. We just pray this morning that you would invite us to understand that more fully. To hear your invitation to walk in the way. To live the truth, to know the life that you came to give. Life abundant, life in you, God. Father, we do bring all of our doubts and fears, all of our loneliness and depression and anxiety, we bring it all into this space. We come as honestly as we can together to be gathered in your presence and to be changed. Father, we pray that the vaccine would roll out quicker and more efficiently, and that everyone would have access to it. We pray that you would turn the tide on this pandemic. We pray that you would protect lives, especially the lives of the most vulnerable, Father. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Syria. God, in all the years of violence that's been inflicted on them and that they've inflicted on each other, and that even our nation this week added to, God, we pray for a better way. I know that this is not your way, God, and yet it seems like it's our only response. So I pray that you would give us wisdom and open our eyes and teach us what it is to really love, even to love our enemies and to seek your peace. God, that in the midst of our troubled waters, you would be our peace. Father, we want to know you more, and in this season of Lent, we pray that you would help us to simplify, to unclutter our lives in ways, to create space for our hunger and thirst, and to respond to you. Gather us in your word, gather us in prayer. Gather us in so that we would know your love and live out of it, I pray. In your precious name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning, Roosevelt Community Church. It's really good to be together, even if it's in this still kind of strange way to be gathered here at RCC or online or wherever you're at, to be gathered in spirit and gathered in worship, to gathered so that we can be formed by Jesus and learn to walk the way of Jesus together. I want to keep inviting you when you feel ready. There is space here at the church on Sunday morning, so we're meeting at 10. We are wearing masks the whole time. We have ventilation and doors are open, so dress warmly. We are staying well distanced, but we have space for more if you'd like to join us. If you have questions about what that's like, or if you have suggestions of things we could do to make you feel more comfortable, I know all of us are in different places, and so when you're ready, we would love to welcome you back in this space. And until then, we are so grateful that we have this online way that we can still gather and worship and pray and lean into Jesus together. Know that I am praying for your health and the health of our neighbors and neighborhoods. And I would invite us to all be leaning in and praying that together. Praying that the vaccine would roll out more effectively and more quickly. Praying that we would continue to make decisions to protect our neighbors by wearing masks and staying socially distanced. Praying that we would find joy and hope washing over us like the tide. Praying for our emotional and mental health that many of us have been struggling with. Especially right now, I feel like and maybe it's because my kids over the next week or so are beginning to head back to school, which some of them are not excited about, but some of us parents are. But especially praying, and even for my friends who are teachers or school staff, that our teachers and staff and students would be able to navigate this transition well, whether it's in person or online or the mix of both. Praying especially for their health and that God would put a hedge around them. I know there are some who don't necessarily feel safe in this transition back to school, and so we're just praying that they would find safe ways to do it, and that they would be able to be confident, and that there would just be so much good coming out of this transition back to school that it would become clear what's right and what's best, and that we would be careful and cautious as we do that together. There are moments in this pandemic, for me at least, when I long to get back to normal, to escape this moment and leave it behind. I just want it to be over. The other week in a board meeting, we were kind of discussing at RCC how it feels like we are in still waters is kind of the picture that I have. That the wind in the sails is gone, that the current is gone, that momentum is gone, that no matter how hard we paddle, as soon as we stop paddling, we stop. And one of our board members, Breeze, who is wise and compassionate and a good friend, asked this beautiful question. What is the gift of still waters? Because for me, there's a lot in this moment of still waters that's frustrating, that honestly causes anxiety, that makes me want to fight or do whatever I can to rush out of it. And I've so deeply appreciated the wisdom of that question. And honestly, ever since that it was asked, it's kind of been, this question has been my companion. Somehow in it, I hear this invitation from Jesus. Don't miss the gift. And it's more than just the pandemic. I think there's something essential about the way of Jesus that we are called to walk that is like a hidden gift. Hidden not to obscure it, but hidden because the searching is where life is found. Hidden because the journey towards it is what shapes us. Hidden because it requires faith and invites us into something that God created us for. And I'm someone who loves the journey. I love long car rides. I love walking and hiking. I love thinking through questions without finding answers. I love the work of putting together a puzzle, way more than I love the puzzle. I don't know what other puzzlers do, but as soon as I'm done, I enjoy it for like 1 second, and then I put it away. And I love that work. I love the puzzling. I love the journey. In the movie Soul that came out this year from Disney, there's this line about purpose, or the spark. It's really, the movie is really about finding your purpose. And one of the main characters says about their purpose or their spark, maybe skywatching can be my spark. Or walking, I'm really good at walking. And then the other character's like, that's not a purpose. And since then, I've realized how much skywatching and walking have been things that I love. And I'd be okay if they were my main purpose in the world. And maybe this is just my personality, but I would be okay if God put me here to walk and enjoy the sky. The journey, the meandering, the searching, the longing, there's something in them that bring us to life. As if all of us were created more than just to gather things or produce stuff, but actually we were created to grow and experience growth. We were created to walk and enjoy the sky and enjoy the stars and create art and write songs and learn to love. We were created for this growth, for this journey, for something, this seeking, this longing. There's a gift in it that's hidden. And I don't mean chasing the horizon, trying to keep up with the Joneses, as people used to say, measuring yourself by wealth or achievements. This is a life lived in the wrong direction, chasing the shadowlands of things not worthy of our humanity. And too often we find ourselves trying to acquire things or trying to get to a certain status or a place, and that kind of searching leaves us so empty. Jesus has this way of hiding things. Especially in the book of Mark, there's this idea of the messianic secret where Jesus seems to keep telling people not to tell anyone about him. Don't tell anyone about the miracle that just happened. Don't tell them quite yet who I am. And there's this way that when you're reading the story, you're like, Jesus, why do you keep hiding who you are? In my own life, I can tell you there have been tons of times where I have longed for people I knew or loved to see Jesus and know Jesus. And yet there's something about it that has felt hidden from them, or they were unwilling to see or look for it. And it's been so frustrating to me of, God, why does it feel like this truth is hidden from them? And many of them would say, well, if God just showed up here in person, I would believe. Why does God stay hidden? There is something about the kingdom of God that is hidden, purposefully hidden. Would you grab your Bibles with me, if you have one, and turn to Matthew 13. And I just want to read one verse and reflect on it for 1 second together. Matthew 13, 44. And here Jesus is teaching about the kingdom of God. And Jesus says this in a parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. I want you to take a moment with those around you or here in the comments on Facebook or in quiet reflection. Why would the kingdom of God be hidden? Why would the kingdom of God be like someone find, like be something, why would the kingdom of God be like something hidden in a field? Why would God hide this? What is Jesus inviting us into? So I just want you to reflect for a minute of what does Jesus mean by this idea that the kingdom of God is like a hidden treasure. There's a strangeness and a mystery in this. And I don't even pretend for a second that I'm about to explain all that. I love this verse. And the one that follows it. For many reasons, it's been one of the most transformative messages in my walk with Jesus over the past 10 to 15 years. But there's this thing that I've been meditating on, maybe even bothered by. See, Jesus is inviting all people into the kingdom of God, welcoming and calling. It's here. It's being offered to you. It's free. By the blood of Jesus, a way has been made. It's right here. It's yours. And yet, there's something about it that is hidden away, mysterious, like a puzzle we get to put together, like a journey we get to take. And for some of us, we've discovered it. We begin to see it's like a treasure. We kind of know what it is. And others, it feels like, well, why can't they see the same thing? Why is it still hidden from people I love? If it's so free and it's right here and Jesus is announcing in this moment in Matthew, no, the kingdom of God is at hand. How is it that there was something at hand that so many people right there couldn't begin to see? How is it present and yet mysteriously hidden? The kingdom of God is an invitation. An invitation to experience. An invitation to something dangerous and beautiful and costly. We tend to appreciate things much more that we had to work for, or that we had to wait for, or that we had to search really hard for. The easy path never leads to meaningful things. And the message of the gospel is clear and simple and compelling. And yet for those of us who have found ourselves in this way of Jesus, of putting our faith in Jesus, whether it's been for a day or a week, or I don't know, Sam and Sue, how many years is it for you guys following Jesus-ish?
60
years. That all of us realize, no, there is something about this that even though it's so simple and clear, is complex and compelling enough that it is inviting us to search and learn and grow our whole lives. That what I discovered to be true, I still find new things about every day. The good news that Jesus is here with you. The invitation to turn away from all that brings death and desolation and destruction in the world. Turn away from sin and turn to God. Receive the life of Jesus, that Jesus offers, the hope of resurrection, we find in the resurrected Christ, that this is the good news. It's as clear and as epic as a beautiful view of Mount Baker on a sunny day. But imagine standing, looking at the mountain from here, from where you're at right now, and then being invited to find your way to that peak. You can see it clearly. You kind of know where it's at. But if you literally had to walk right now from where you are to the peak of Mount Baker, think of all you'd have to discover. Think of all the paths, all the work, all the times you would get lost, all the searching. So in one way, the kingdom of God is this clear thing. There's even some simplicity and openness, and it's available to all people, and yet there's something about our invitation to walk in the kingdom of God that is like this winding, mysterious path, a hidden gift. You can clearly see it, but imagine all that you would learn if you tried to walk to Mount Baker from where you're at. Who you would become if you packed your bags and started walking from where you are to try to find it. It would be like a treasure in a field. But you have to find a way to buy the field. You have to sell everything you have. And I believe that what God wants for you is this. I believe that this is what God wants for you. That thing that can only be learned by selling everything you have for the treasure. God forms us in the journey. It's along the way that we find who we truly are. What we long for, what we seek, the path we keep walking, it forms us. There's something about the direction that our desires are aimed in that shape who we become and our identity. Jesus said, "I am the way." Not just, "I am the destination or the treasure or the gift," but "I am the way." And when Jesus says this to me, this is a beautiful invitation. You know, when I was a kid, I think I thought a lot that Jesus was almost like getting to base. You know, like if you're playing tag, of like, oh, I got to base and I'm safe. There was this sense in which it's just about like, oh yeah, I come there and I'm good. But I've learned so much over my years of trying to follow Jesus. But that's just the beginning. It's a very simple starting point that's easy to access, that we're all invited into. And then it's like every breath, every day, every moment, Jesus keeps saying, a little more. Keep coming. Let's see if we can walk a little more. And there are so many times in life where I've literally been like, I can't take another step. Or maybe, no, this is pretty nice where I'm at. It's beautiful. I don't want to go any further. I'm fine here. There have been all these moments, and I have found this compelling message throughout my life and through Scripture of Jesus and the Spirit of God always inviting. No, there's something else. There's more gift. There's more. Keep moving. Following Jesus is the path where we find life, find ourselves, find God. And not find as in arrive, but find like discover. Find as in like you discover some new place that you want to explore. Jesus prayed in John 16, not that God would take his disciples out of the world, but that God would protect them in the world. Not that God would shortcut the journey and just rush them to the end, but that God would protect them as they seek, as they long, as they journey, as they learn what it is that Jesus is the way. Because this is why we were created, to journey with God, to walk with Jesus in the way of Jesus. If I asked someone who knew you really well, what would they say you are seeking in life? What would they say you're working towards? What would they say you're trying to become? What would they say you're longing for? If they look at how you're living, how you're spending your time, where you put your energies, how you're investing your life, how you spend your money. In fact, I want to take a moment with those around you or in here in the comments. And I know this means being a little bit vulnerable. But take a moment with those around you and be honest. What would those who know you well say that you are searching for? What would those who know you well say that you are searching for? I honestly believe that what you seek creates who you are. And sadly, so often we seek empty things that have no life in them. Or we seek them from the wrong places. We seek affirmation, but we get it in ways that actually affirm things that are destructive in us or in the world. Fame or greed or how we look or other things that can actually end up being really hollow. We seek love, but we find easy answers to love in the kind of places that actually hurt us, because they're not what love really is. We seek peace by escape, which is no form of peace. Or we seek peace through violence, which also only produces violence. We seek money or success. We seek pleasure, or maybe just not to be bothered. We seek sometimes just not to be challenged anymore. We get tired of ideas or people or things that challenge us. I mean, this is so much of where the evil eye of white supremacy comes from, and many other things like it is. We just want people to be like us and look like us and have power when they're like us and to not be challenged anymore. Honestly, in the church, like even for those of us who are trying to follow Jesus, this too often happens when we no longer want to deal with sin. We don't want to deal with being convicted and having to repent. We're just seeking affirmation in a way that no longer invites the Spirit of God to till the soil on our souls and pull out of us the things that are actually destructive. We're always seeking, always walking a path. I mean, I think this is the truth. Whether we know it or not, we are always seeking and longing for something. And it is a lie to ever think we're not. And so the question isn't, are we going to seek something? It's, what are we seeking? What are we longing for? What is our hunger and our thirst? Because we always hunger and thirst for something. We're always walking a path. The problem is we waste so much of our lives walking paths that lead to emptiness, that lead to death and destruction and violence. There's only one path that leads to life, that cultivates life. There's only one path where abundant life can be found, and it is the way of Jesus. If you have a Bible, would you grab it again, and we're going to be back in Matthew. We're going to turn to Matthew 7. And this is one of those verses that's super famous. If you've been in church long or have been walking with Jesus, like, this is a verse that comes up a lot. And I want us to reflect on it and what Jesus is inviting us into as he invites us to walk the way of Jesus. So this is Matthew 7, 7 through 8. Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open for you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. Everyone who knocks. For everyone who knocks, the door will be open. And if we turn back to verse 6, I just want to add to it in verse 33. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Seek first the kingdom of God. So we have this idea where Jesus is inviting us, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. And in the same kind of sermon, Jesus had said, seek first the kingdom of God, and live righteously. And as you live, as you seek, God will provide all that you need. So what would it look like for you and I to seek the kingdom of God? To long for the kingdom of God? What does it look like? How might people who know you well see that in you? So I want to take another moment with those around you or here in the comments or in quiet reflection. What does it look like when a person is seeking the kingdom of God first? How would others see it in your life? How does this longing express itself in real human experience? What does this look like? When I was a kid, I remember wanting things so badly for my birthdays or Christmas. I remember whenever school was about to start, there was always some sweatshirt or hat or white overall shorts I really wanted. And just the one thing, anyway, you know. I remember wanting it. Like, I can feel the want. I can remember the want. But I don't actually remember, other than that one thing I just said, what any of them really were, or most of them. It was always like, as soon as I got them, I quit wanting them. In fact, sometimes at Christmas, our family talks about, oh, what are some of the best gifts you've ever gotten? And I can't even think of that many. But I can remember every year having so much want and desire for it. But it's almost like there was something about just wanting and consuming them that by the time I got it, it was empty. That my memory is more bound up in the wanting and the desire than the actual receiving of that thing, because there is something more powerful in that, in the seeking, in the wanting, in the longing. Too often in life, we are in a hurry to get somewhere, and we miss all the beauty along the way. The good life is in the journey, in the growing, in the learning. The gift is not what we find at the end of the road, but in who we become along the way. The way of Jesus is not just about getting from A to B. It's about finding the path that can transform us into who God created us to be. This is why Jesus prayed in John 17, God, I don't pray that you just pull them out of the world, but you protect them. Because there's something about them living in this world that they need to be shaped, to discover faith, to discover the way of God, to discover who they are. It's not just about getting from where they're at to some idea of heaven, that there is this process we are invited into where we find life and where we find who we really are and who God really is. Waking up day by day and remembering that the Spirit of God is as close to us as the air we breathe. That God is inviting us to join the kingdom work today as students, as pilgrims. You have been set free to live free. You have found the way, now walk in it. Because walking the way will make you who God created you to be. And it is hidden, it's mysterious. It's like hunger or thirst, it invites longing. It's a journey worthy of our lives, worth giving everything for. The gift is the way of Jesus. The gift is path where we learn who we are and become our true selves more and more with every step. The gift is God who is with us. The gift is presence, the presence of God along the journey. Jesus who walks the way with us. The gift is every moment you're alive, the opportunity to grow, the opportunity to love, the opportunity to serve, the opportunity to learn, the opportunity to experience beauty, the opportunity to create beauty, the opportunity to know Jesus more and more. You were created to seek. And in Jesus, you have been set free to walk the life-giving way. To seek that which alone is worthy to spend your whole life on. Don't miss the gift. The gift is in the journey. The kingdom of God is a hidden treasure. Romans 12, 1 through 2 says this. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Would you pray with me? Father, teach us what it is to offer our whole selves as a living sacrifice. Reshape us. With every step, with every breath, reshape us, Father. Along the way, would you teach us who we are, who you created us to be? Along the way, would you help us to understand the beautiful mysteries of who you are and how deeply you love us and love this world? Along the way, would you give us that love for our neighbors and neighborhoods? Help us to thirst for your kingdom. Help us to hunger for your kingdom. Help us to seek your kingdom above all else. Would it be all that we long for? Would you give us visions and whiffs of it, Father, so that it just causes us to long and work and journey together towards that? God, would you reshape us? Even when the journey's hard, Father, would you deal with our sin as a good and just God? Bring us to places of repentance. Would you give us courage to walk with the gifts you've given us? Would you deal with our anxiety and our stress and our busyness so that we can learn more and more what it is to embody the presence of your kingdom in this world? Help us to be students together, to give ourselves to this good work, and along the way, would we find life? Would we learn to practice resurrection together? Would each of us get to know what it is that you came to give life and to give it abundantly? Draw us into this mystery, and we thank you for the kingdom of God that is a hidden treasure. In your precious name I pray, amen. Amen. This morning, we come to communion together. A place where we seek together, seek the life of Jesus revealed in his death and resurrection. Jesus is calling you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. We say with the church throughout history and around the world, this is the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. We take the cracker or the bread broken. We remember Jesus who died to open this life-giving way to us. We remember the gift of this mystery. And we receive that gift together and we say to each other, this is Jesus' body broken for you. And we remember Jesus' blood poured out for us. So we dip or we sip and we say together, this is Jesus' blood poured out for you. And now, friends, may you find life in the longing, joy in the seeking. May you experience Jesus every step along your way. I love you, friends. Go with God.